Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the podcast, Robin James. How the devil are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really well. Very happy to see your beaming, smiling face.
Thanks so much. I mean, you look fresh and glamorous, and I look a little bit tired and as if it should be Friday rather than Monday. But
I know that I'm saying it's first thing Monday morning. It's not when we're sort of heading into the lunchtime. Well, we're in brunch time, aren't we, right now?
We're in brunch. Yeah, we're definitely in a sort of like eggs zone.
If we were in person, we'd be propped up somewhere with eggs, probably avocado, probably some sourdough, and a Bloody Mary.
A Bloody Mary, as we'd say, or a mimosa if you want to go slightly more orangey zesty.
Well, there we go. But you're coming on the podcast to share your feel-good habits, which I am excited to hear because you, my friend, are one, as somebody I consider to be incredibly motivated and focused, and yet in a way where you never seem to... I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but you never seem to outwardly express a huge amount of stress with it. It seems like you've got things quite ordered. So I'm quite intrigued to see whether Feel Good Habits gives me a little bit more insight into how you operate, because for listeners, obviously Robin James is man for himself. The YouTube channel, the Instagram. I mean, there's so many things to it.
Multifaceted, some might say.
Yeah. Multifaceted. So I'm hoping that I get a bit more of an insight about how you manage to operate and so smoothly. So where are we beginning? What is your first feel-good habit?
So first feel-good habit is very much early morning, and it's exercising early and hard. For me, it's got to be hard, otherwise it's not exercise. No, for me, it's like it kickstarts my day, having an exercise class or PT or just even a run outside. It's just almost... just gives me that instant kick. I also find that exercising is one of the only times that I'm really truly not in front of a screen or not on my phone, and the kind of thought process I have during exercise is totally different. I'm almost like thinking about how to stay alive rather than thinking about what the next video I need to be doing. So it's great, and it also just really just moves me. I mean, obviously. But for the rest of the day, I can just feel like, okay, well, I've done that. You know, everything else is just an absolute bonus doing my job that I've, you know, done the physical exercise. Also, I'm not an exerciser in the evening. By the evening, I just want to be having a glass of wine. I want to be chilling out. I want to be watching TV or seeing my friends. So it's, yeah, the morning thing. Because I know so many people think, oh, God, I couldn't get up. I just can't get up. I just think, get up and it's done.
Exactly. So why is the morning? I mean, I know you said it's because of the evening is when you like to relax, but yeah. why you made a point a minute ago of saying early.
It's because it's so quiet. I mean, living in London, I'm in the southeast London in Peckham, and it's a great place. You know, London, there's so much going on, but it's noisy. And actually having that moment of feeling like you've got the city to yourself, I just think is amazing. And you kind of think it's in that time that you are sort of planning your day and you're walking to wherever you're having a run. And I love the sort of the temperature too. It's cooler. I mean, I'm a hot creature. I get too hot doing anything. So like exercising, I'm just wet start to end. And just having that sort of morning moment with no one else around, or it's a bit dewy or it's still slightly dark, and you just feel like you're part of the world coming alive. And you've not missed out, you know, you've started there.
Good. Okay. So, and you also made a point of saying hard. So what to you is hard exercise?
For me, I like to exercise to a point that I'm pushing myself so hard that it's a challenge, that you've achieved something, but also you can't think about anything else because quite literally your mind is on the matter of, I need to finish that by this time, or I've got this personal best to push. So your whole sort of thought process changes from these kind of like little things that we get so caught up in, these sort of things that aren't so important, or, oh, what am I going to put in my hair video today? You know, it's more like, right, there's literally like some sort of dinosaur chasing me. You know, I've got to be, we kind of go into this sort of, I don't know, there's probably something about this, but a different sort of headspace where it's a little bit more primitive. So like you're forgetting about all the extras and you're just focusing on that one thing. And it's, so that's when I'm not exercising hard or I'm doing something that is maybe a bit too easy, I'm still thinking about all the other stuff.
It's so true. This morning I was working out and I was having a fine old time and it was challenging, but, and then I started doing squats and Arnold presses and I suddenly realized, oh, you need a hell of a lot more air in your lungs. You have to really think about your breathing now. And it goes from that sort of being, you know, when people say exercising is meditative, I totally get that. You kind of go into a trance state, but then there are occasions where you catch yourself when you're pushing yourself, when you realize I really need to communicate with my body now to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is, it's as you just said, it is meditative. You know, you are in this zone and it's, although you are beasting yourself, you're actually at your most chilled at that time. Mm. I just love it. I think, and I don't get that in the evening. I also think, you know, after a hard day at work, the last thing I want to do is like push myself into something else. You know, I want to get it done and then I'm okay, next.
I am always really quite invigorated after exercise as well. So for me, it would be the worst thing to do in the evening. For me, evening is just kind of yoga or wine.
Yeah. Wine with yoga. Yeah, exactly. Also, I think, you know, there's nothing ahead of the morning exercise. It is quite literally just sleep. So you have a hard start. It's we have meetings that go in, you know, and someone's like, okay, I can only really do 5:30, and then that becomes 6. And then, well, you've missed whatever you were supposed to be doing. I mean, I try not to do that because I think my time is my time. If someone's going to be late with something, then no, it can be moved. But just the morning, yeah, you are kind of, it's just a great way to start. I would totally recommend it for anyone.
Do you do it on weekdays only, or are you a 7-day a week guy?
I do about 5 days a week. I have a PT once a week. I've started CrossFit. So
Robin.
CrossFit is, I've always thought I'm really quite fit, fit with a PH. And I've always kind of just been like, okay, I can do that. You know, I did the marathon. I still hold on to that in 2014. So quite a long time ago, but I can run and I can kind of do anything I put my mind to, but CrossFit is another level. These people look normal. Like they look like just normal people that you might see in Asda and Peckham, but they are beasts. Like they are strong, their cores are just, and it's the women I'm just so impressed by, especially because they just, it's almost like they have full control of their body. There's nothing extra on that body that isn't needed. And just like the pull-ups and all these new things that I'm trying to do. And I'm like, I'm the bottom of the class, which is actually really nice because it's really making me sort of push myself and think, give me a year and I'll get myself to the top. But it's great. It's really good. And I'm enjoying it.
I think that touches on something else that I've talked about a couple of times on the podcast, which is sometimes it is good to be a beginner. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So for me during lockdown, it was doing online courses and starting with no knowledge about something to then get to the end of a course and go, oh, I know a bit more about that now. Just for that sort of, just to tick a box and to feel some sort of sense of accomplishment.
Totally. And it's so nice to do something new and push yourself into something that you feel actively uncomfortable in, because I don't tend to worry and I don't tend to feel stress. I often just tell myself, well, that's excitement, and I kind of reprogram it actively by telling myself. So actually going into a class where I'm thinking I don't know how to do that, like I physically can't do that, has been really nice because it's just made me focus on just doing that one thing. Yeah, it's good to do things that you're unsure of that or that you find hard.
I really like that. That's a great one. So where are we? We went really round the houses with that one. So number two, what is your second feel good habit?
So there's no sort of order to these, but I have these written down. I actually wrote these across a couple of days, and I was sat on a bus, I was sat on the tube, I was sat at my desk, and I kind of just thought, oh, that's a great one. And things kind of came and went. But for me, this one is about fragrance. And it's wearing a fragrance based upon your mood rather than the season. I think especially, I mean, the year that we've had, the 2 years that we've had, has just been a total shitter, you know, and it's like we're all kind of stuck, and there's just a feeling of not having control. And I think one of the great things about fragrance is it's transportative. So, you know, having that spritz of something and you're on the Amalfi Coast, or you're in a sort of martini bar, you know, it's so fantastic. And I'm very lucky to receive lots of great fragrances, and I do writing on them and I do videos about them. And I have this sort of like fragrance library in my dressing room. And it's just so lovely in the morning to think, well, how am I feeling? Or how do I want to feel? And it's quite often on those days where you are just feeling a little lethargic, or you're thinking, oh God, I just don't want to do this. Or there's multiple things going on. And just picking up that fragrance with, you know, a little oomph of an oud or something creamy with a leather, it's just instantly you're feeling like a different person, and it's like a mask. I think it's just a lovely way to be. And we're quite often told, you know, seasonal fragrances and citruses for summer, and, you know, you might have a vetiver in spring, and, you know, the deeper, darker ambers for winter. But I'll wear an amber in summer just because I love the way it makes me feel, and I love that confidence boost. And I just, with fragrance too, you know, you have all those memories, and it's stuff that you will spray and think, oh God, like that's really made me feel like homesick, or that's really reminded me of something. And it's just so emotional. So yeah, picking a fragrance based upon how you feel. I mean, it's a luxury really, but it's like my mum has some gorgeous fragrances, and I've given her a few, and I'll say, how are you getting on with that? And she says, oh yes, you know, I've kept it. It's for Fridays and holidays. And I'm like, No. That fragrance should be for every day, and you choose something because it's about how it makes you feel. And it's not about having the sexiest fragrance or whatever it might be. It's like, how does that make you feel in that moment? So I think just having, you know, one or two little fragrances, they don't need to be the full size. Pick up your testers and you can do some 30 mil things, or do like a little sort of fragrance scent kit. And there's so many things out there. And I just think people need to explore fragrance more. And for me, it just makes me feel great.
Okay, so tell me now, if I said to you, Robin, we're going out, we're going to a very nice restaurant, we're going to be, I don't know, top table, what are you going to wear to help give you that kind of, to complement that setting?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So I do like these... I'm looking here because I do have some stuff around. All my fragrances are directly in front of me in boxes. And then I have sort of like my heavy rotation. But I love something a bit spicy. I like these sort of amber, golden, sort of glistening fragrances. I like something a bit smoky. I'm kind of going towards more of these sort of like incense fragrances. For me at the moment, what am I enjoying? There's one by Penhaligon's called Cairo. And I often say it's like, what you think of like Indiana Jones going through a tomb, a bit musky, but with all the glamour of like, you know, the after show party that they sort of do in these films. But there's something so deep about it. And it's just, I love when you get a great dry down and you can smell it, you know, 2 days later on the collar of a coat. There's also another Penhaligon's actually I love called Halfetti Leather. So Halfetti is their biggest, their best seller. But Halfetti Leather has got rose, there's leather notes in it. So you've got something which is floral, but then it has this sort of deep and dark and like mysterious sort of edge to it. I just like anything that's a nuzzler. Like I love a nuzzling fragrance. You know, it's something that you smell on someone, you think, oh God, what is that? You know, you've got your beacon and you're just like having a little... sort of like a little hamster moment of just everything's arrangy.
The kind of thing where you go in to hug someone or kiss someone on the cheek and you realize that you're lingering in the nape of their neck.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing leads to another. Yeah. So like I used to wear a lot of citrus fragrances and I still love a citrus, but I do like something with a little bit more depth now. And I think the sort of way I dress too. I mean, right now I'm in a sort of like baggy t-shirt, shirt thing, whatever this is, jumper.
Lynx Africa, obviously.
Lynx Africa today, absolutely. But even, you know, I think fragrance, and I've only started to feel differently about fragrance in the past year. I always found it so intimidating. I was scared to talk about it because I thought only certain people in this space could talk about fragrance because they did it so well and they just could paint these gorgeous pictures. And do you know what, actually, it's fragrance is about sort of creating a moment, and it's art, you know, it's the perfect blending of art and science. And it's, I think, worry less about the notes. You know, it doesn't matter if that has vetiver in it or it's got patchouli, or because actually a lot of those are just synthetic things that then a marketing team decides, you know, what it should be. But I just think about how you feel and how you want to feel. And that's the most important thing about it. And it shouldn't be this world that only certain people can enter. You know, we should all enjoy it. And you know, you said there about Lynx Africa. And I think if you feel good in a Lynx Africa, I mean, Lynx Africa, you know, body shower gel was amazing. I love that on the skin. And you could layer it, you know, layer it with your body spray, and then you can do whatever else. So yeah, picking a fragrance that makes you feel good, I think, is so important. What do you wear?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I'm not a big fragrance lover. It's the kind of thing where I never think, you know how, I'm sure if you left the house and you weren't wearing a fragrance or a scent of some sort, it would feel a little bit when you realized as though you'd left your wallet or your keys.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm like, oh, I don't, as long as I don't smell of BO, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I do really enjoy the Atelier cologne, and I do like their citruses.
Lovely.
But I'm so nose blind. So when I spray something, I cannot smell it. So it's that thing of, it's just an instant gratification. I don't smell it on me. But I actually, and this is, you're going to think I'm so basic, but I really always remember really liking the coconut scents of like cheap shampoos. And so the other day I was walking through Victoria Station and I popped into Body Shop and I actually bought their coconut body spray. And I've spritzing myself with that. And again, I, in the moment, as I'm sort of putting my body moisturizer on and I'm spraying it, it feels wonderful. And I do not smell it on me for the rest of the day. I don't think it lingers. But in the moment of sort of getting ready, I like that. Or I like a citrus. Or what's the other one I like? There's a rose one by... I've forgotten the name now, but anyway, but I'm not really as into it as you are with descriptive. So let's move on to habit three before we tangle myself in a scenty knot.
I like that, a scenty knot. So my third one I'm going to give you is, and how do I write this? Nurturing plants in my flat. Nice. I love plants. And I mean, I'm just a classic 34-year-old gay who just like collects plants. For lack of children at the moment. I mean, it's either plants, cats, or cats and plants. At the moment, it's just plants, but I love my plants. I have a huge cheese plant in my bedroom. I've got various plants around here, around me. And I just love them because they smell good, they look lovely. And when they're thriving, I feel like I'm thriving. And just to give them a little water and have a little chat to them. And they just totally...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Change a space. I mean, I've got too many plants, really. I did a job with a plant company years ago, and that kind of set me on this plant journey. And I absolutely love my plants. And now on my balcony, I have a very small balcony. I've now started growing potatoes, carrots, lettuce. I've got raspberries, there's chilies, and then I've got French lavender, I've got English lavender, and the bees go wild for it.
I love lavender.
It's so beautiful, you know, just having a little sort of play with the lavender and then smelling it up. Oh, it's so gorgeous. But yeah, with the plants, I just think, I mean, I've got some across here, and you know, some of them looking a bit tired. I've got a peace lily on my mm-hmm. windowsill here next to some fragrances I'm about to go through. And it just totally changes the mood of somewhere. You know, it just adds like more color and depth, and this it's warm and yeah.
I agree.
I don't see any plants in your room, Emma.
Not in the Where office. They're in the other room. They're in the living room. But I used to have plants in here, but it's just because it's carpeted. And if I didn't water my fern, it would. Anyway, that's a housekeeping issue. But I agree with you. I have a mixture of fake and real. So I have.
Yeah.
And yes. It makes all the difference. I think if I took those out of that space, it would look completely different. And it would feel echoey.
Yes. I've seen those fake ones that you have, and they're really, really nice. They look real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a mixture. So you just got to make sure you don't water the wrong ones.
We've all been there. I actually bought a plant from Lidl. Lidl, great for it. Lilies, chocolate, bread, wine, and plants. But I bought this lily for the office when I had the office in Brixton. And I was so sure it was plastic. And Beck, who was working with me at the time, kept on watching this plant and said, "Why are you watching that?" I was like, "It's plastic." She's like, "It's real." Anyway, it's one of the largest plants I now have. It's amazing. it's another sort of like peace lily vibe. But they're so beautiful. And I think there's something really lovely about seeing something grow in your space.
I agree. Yeah. It's very nice. I love that one.
Thanks so much. I love a plant. If anyone's listening and wants to give me a present, yeah, I'll take the plant. PRs need to stop sending these wicker basket things, these like important placement baskets. Honestly, there's far too many baskets. Sorry, let me put myself on a do not disturb. Far too many baskets going around. I had to take a few to a charity shop, and I just was like, no, send the plants, keep the baskets.
First world problems, listeners. Stop sending the Fortnum and Mason hampers. No, stop, I know what you mean.
It's too much.
I once helped a friend move who has been in the beauty industry for a very long time. And as we were unpacking, I was like, I remember this press gift and it's 12 years old. Why do you still have this?
No, get rid of stuff like that. Give it away to a friend or give it to a beauty bank or give it to the charity shop. There's always someone that will like those things.
Cherish it indeed. So we're moving from plants to where?
We are. So I'm going to move from my plants to talking about like friendships and relationships. And I think something I've learned more to do is sort of investing in sort of friendships and relationships and showing vulnerability and talking openly and deeply. And I think, you know, you don't have to be telling everyone about things, but I think you need to have one or two friends that you can kind of just be very open with. And I think sort of more into my 30s, I've got better at doing that. And I don't need to be a Superman who can do everything and actually sort of showing vulnerability and looking for help and discussing things, I think, is so important. And it's this, like, so it's, I suppose it's like almost like a therapy, being able to chat about things. And, you know, sometimes when you say things out loud, it feels very different than you know what you're feeling in your head. So I suppose it's kind of like a not holding back and not being afraid of what some people might think, because that's what, you know, they're there for. They're your friends. And I think for me, that's a feel good habit, and it's an important thing to do. But also, I suppose, allowing other people to share their lives and, you know, what's going on. And sometimes we're ahead, sometimes we're behind. Just allowing yourself to be open, I think, is something which I've certainly got better at, and I certainly invest in now.
Is it as well, because this is something I've definitely noticed, my friendships in lockdown, it's not so much that they've changed necessarily. I too have done that thing of I need to invest more. But I would also say that the fact that I had so little in-person communication, everything went into text messages. I realized the difference that it makes when you're not in person. And actually, I mean, I don't know about you, but I definitely, you feel energy from text messages and emails, don't you? And actually, it's almost as if a lot of the in-person communication is misdirection, because there's lots of projecting and posturing. But actually, there's something a little bit more transparent about text messages and those sorts of exchanges. Yeah. And I have definitely noticed that it's almost as if the friends that I went into lockdown talking to a lot, I now talk to least, and the ones that I wasn't talking to as much,
we're now
much more in communication.
Totally. I think also the fact you said, you know, about this sort of the means of communication, having something written or be it on email. I don't do a lot of the sort of upfront, how are you? How was your weekend? I kind of go straight in on it. So I think I probably come off as quite blunt and maybe not that friendly, but it's just my way of communicating. So I'm much better in person. And I, he says, or I would much
rather. No, I can vouch for it, listeners.
Pick up the phone and call someone, because a lot can get lost in translation. And, you know, some people aren't the best at writing.
You love a voice note as well.
I live for a voice note. I just think it's sometimes, I mean, you don't have to be doing it all the time. Some people go a bit over the top. But it's also, you know, if you need to ask a question, or the people you're working with, or let's meet at whatever bar, and more likely. I love a voice note. I mean, we said before we started filming here, I don't do a lot of Zoom, and I avoid it at all costs. I just tend to hate it. I would do like a one-to-one, which I think is fine, but these whole group things that we're doing are just awful, and they're the devil's work, them and baskets. And it's like, you just want to have an in-person conversation. Also, because when you're in a group, you quite often go off into like little mini groups, and you'll be having a chat to so-and-so over here, and then, oh, hi. And you'll like sort of like mince across and chat to someone else across there. But it's like, when you're on a Zoom, there's always one peacock, and it's the people that wouldn't be like that in person. And they're just, yeah. And it's, shut the fuck up, you know? I'm not here to listen to you. I'm here to do this very quick thing and leave, because my basket's waiting. It's got various things in it that I need to try. And it's like, in person, people wouldn't be like that. So, but I digress. Investing in those relationships and having those conversations, I think, is just so important. Because it's quite often, I found too, quite often the people you think would be the best at communicating and showing vulnerability are not. Yeah. And it's actually the other people that really have their shit together, and they just quietly are getting on with it.
I like that. I agree with you 100%. I've just published my feel good habits, and that was one of them. And how lockdown has basically made me realize that it's not just the people I would see all the time. There are lots of people I have who are wonderful friends, and I now speak to them a hell of a lot more than I used to. Because I'm really bad for still feeling the same way about somebody and thinking, oh, I really like that person, but just not ever taking the time to get in touch.
It's tough. You know, we've all had a sort of a tough ride. I mean, I quite like a tough ride, but it's cheeky. But it's it's kind of like, we just don't all have different ways of doing things, and different sort of communication styles. But it's interesting. I think as long as you're doing what's right for you, then other people can kind of get in line.
Right, now we're moving on to your fifth feel good habit, which I'm going to assume is a weekend mini break with your friend Emma.
Absolutely. I mean, do the listeners know about our weekend mini break?
No, that can be another show.
I would just say about that, it's just the kind of place that has like a funky glass for a martini.
I was about to say it had the glass that you get in the fun shop, the souvenir shop. Anyway, we tried, listeners, we'll get it right next time. Yeah. What is your fifth feel good habit?
My fifth and final feel good habit, and it might actually link to what you said at the top, in that I'm sort of spinning plates and it looks like things are very easy. But mine is keeping my private life off social media. It's so important. And these influencers that we have in our world are just stop sharing it. You don't need to share every single part of your life. It's not important. And keeping something to yourself is so good for you and for the other people around you. And it frustrates me the amount of times that someone will say, it's the people that share absolutely everything, you know, they've gone to the toilet, on social media. And they will say like, oh, you know, not everything's as it seems, and I look like I'm confident. And well, stop putting it on. Be honest if you want to share absolutely everything, but also stop selling every single part of your life. And for me, it has been so important to keep private things private, because I'm in this, and fine, I put my face on a YouTube video, but I'm talking about, for fragrance, and I'm talking about hair care, and I'm talking about skincare, but no one needs to know, you know, what dates I'm going on or what relationship I'm in. And it's just so lovely to keep that to yourself, because it I think it also strengthens the relationship that you have. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that I'm not honest and I'm not authentic and I'm not open, because yeah, I share a lot of things, but I think just retaining some of those things is just really lovely to have.
I think that's true whether you're on social media or in life generally, isn't it? It's that thing of what you're saying, it's that fine balance of opening up with your friends and having a network of people who will be supportive to all aspects of your life, but also having the things that you're boundaried about. And I just think that's quite a steep learning curve.
Totally. I mean, having boundaries is important, and setting your own boundaries. And we do live in a world where people think they have to share absolutely everything. And quite often or not, it's the people that are not doing this as a job that will be sharing everything. And there's quite often people of a certain age that will always be on Facebook, and it's like, oh, does anyone know how to do this? And oh, I'm really struggling with this at the moment. I'm like, again, you're not someone that would say it in person. So if I'm like to you, I mean, fine, that might be coping mechanisms and people just sharing in a different way. But for me personally, holding back certain things, I think, is just really important.
So do you feel, I mean, this really speaks to the fact that you have an online job where you are a presenter, a content creator. So essentially, in the world that we inhabit, because of our jobs, our work-life balance is not, there's not really a demarcation between work and personal life. Even just in the conversations that you have might have with PRs or people, they are your friends as well, and you might talk about, so there's, the lines are very much blurred. So is this for you about how you secure time where your brain can switch off as much? Is that what makes you feel good? The fact that you think, not only am I not talking about this, it's not work, it's also I'm not on duty, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually just bought myself a picture, and there is a link, I promise you. it's Batman, and he's stood at a bar having a glass of wine. And I love this picture because when Batman puts on his mask and his cloak and whatever, he is Batman. But when he takes it all off, he's Bruce Wayne. But he actually doesn't have any special powers. It's just about him pulling on all these different things around him to make things happen. But I like this idea of him finishing, and he's still got the Batman suit on, but he's just having a glass of wine after work before he pops home. So it's like, I like the idea of, I mean, what I'm telling you is I am Batman.
I'm just thinking Robin James and Bruce Wayne.
I mean, there you go. I just like this idea of just like having an instance of a separate life. Like I've got my own private Instagram that I just put shit up on, and, you know, I just like, oh, that was a lovely day, just pop that up. You know, there's stuff going on. But I think with my other stuff, you know, Man for Himself, above all, it's a job, and it's a job that I love, and it's a job that I very much, you know, I wouldn't be wanting to do anything else, but I don't want to share everything. I just, you know, holding on to something. And quite often get, you know, someone will say, oh, you say, oh, I was at home last week. I didn't know you were at home. I didn't see. I was like, yeah, because I didn't put it on on social media. Or you say, you know, if you've had something going on in your life, and I didn't know that. Why would you know that, you know? It's just really nice to have things which are just for you.
Yes, I agree. What wonderful habits. I also now need you to send me a picture of this picture of Batman, please.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, I'll send it across.
You can WhatsApp
my habits are really basic, but they're just like things we can all do.
No, they're great, and I think that's the secret. Sometimes I don't think there have been many habits that have actually cost money. They're all strategies and techniques that are just, I mean, okay, you have to buy plants, but it's the nurturing of them once you have them that's the key.
I've gone into the more, yeah, like the fragrance stuff. It can be anything, as we've said, you know, it can be that Lynx Africa. Or the coconut spritz from Body Shop, you know, as long as it makes you feel good.
What you make of it.
Feel good habits.
Exactly. Well, Robin, thanks for coming back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And it's very nice to see you. Listeners, I will be putting the links to Robin, Man for Himself, everything that we've talked about, but not his personal Instagram.
Oh, no.
In the show notes. But thanks, and have a lovely day, my friend.
Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.